Well, Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you, Jesus, for the power and the life of the truth of your word, for having your way today, and for the supernatural to take place in our lives the way that you desire. And that, Lord, we stay open to everything you want to speak to us and work through us. Pierce our hearts, Holy Spirit, with the reality of the truth. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to share one more thing. Lonnie called me. Thank God we got our power back on. Everybody's got their power back on. Thank you, Jesus. Lonnie shared with me a word, and this one phrase is what really stuck with me this week. And you know, I've been meditating on this all week long. And it is living, and this is how I heard it. It wasn't exactly what he said, but this is what how the Lord highlighted it to me, and that is living in the atmosphere of heaven. Living in the atmosphere of heaven, purposing to live in the atmosphere of heaven. That's life. That's eternal life. That's living in the presence of God, no matter what's going on all the time. All of it, regularly. It's living in the supernatural. It's living in our new identity. It's living in the reality of who he is in us and through us and for us. And no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, no matter what, but living in the atmosphere of heaven. You know, and Jesus taught this prayer to the disciples, you know, we call it the Our Father, and he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will on earth as it is in heaven is for us to live in the atmosphere of heaven here. Also, do you understand that living in the supernatural, the presence of God, and being cognizant of that all the time? There's so much more. I could build a whole message around that, but that was for me. Lonnie, thank you. And God, I told you before, is going to come forth through you differently and bigger and in some powerful ways, Lonnie, prophetically, exhortively to the body, not only to this church, but outside this church, because some of this stuff will get videoed. But it's coming. And Lonnie, we're ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to probably go through today, and I want to finish up next week. We've been on a series called Mindset. Mindset. It's all about where you keep your head. Where's your thinking? Where's your mind at? Where have you set your mind? On things above or things on the earth? Man, there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now, and there will continue because of the times we live in. Are you being rocked by the news? Come on. You don't even know what's true anymore, right? Or are you being rocked by the Holy Spirit? Which is it? All right. Well, where your mindset is going to determine what rocks you. And our mindset needs to be on the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. Paul in Ephesians, real quick, wrote this letter to the Ephesians church, a well-taught church, probably the most well-taught church of that time, like I consider us. We are a well-taught church, and we will continue to be a well-taught church. But in this arena, Paul was speaking to and building up and training the Ephesian people, the individuals and the church itself, to be a body. Not only individually, this isn't just me. This is as a body too. This is together. This is unified. I mean, let's go. And then he culminates this with Ephesians chapter 6, and he starts in verse 10, and he says, Finally, my brothers and sisters, as I wrap this up, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When he says this, every one of these scriptures, these four scriptures, 10, 11, 12, and 13, have a powerful meaning in them. Incredibly powerful. Life-changing. Wake up. Here we go. Pay attention. It's for you and it's for the church together. Because you're working not just for yourself, but you're working together for purpose, for the kingdom. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in him. Be strong in all you are and all you have in him and all that he is in presence and majesty and glory and power for you and in you. Don't be strong in you. Don't be strong in who you were. Don't be strong in what you were. Don't be strong in any of that. Don't be strong in your reasoning and your analytical mind. Don't be strong in your path. Don't be strong in any of that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may stand against all the wiles of the enemy. We got an enemy. Do you know that most of the Christian church is oblivious to the fact that we've got an enemy? Really? I know it sounds funny. I mean, you can acknowledge that we've got an enemy, but being oblivious to the workings of the enemy is pretty much most of the church, sorry to say. It doesn't mean we focus on him. He's a slug. He's a loser. He's empty. But most of the church, and I'm saying most of the church, not you all, but most of the church doesn't realize that we have an enemy that is against us, working against us. When we get born again, we're born again into a battlefield for eternal souls. This is eternal things we're talking about. And he hates this. We got God who's for us, and if God is for us, Romans 8:31, who can be against us? Nobody. Nothing, no matter what happens, because even when you're born again, circumstances happen, life happens, stuff happens, and we got an enemy. But most of the church is not cognizant of the fact that when things do happen, we do have an enemy. And this particular series, this is some rather heavy stuff. And not everybody likes to talk about it, but honestly, this is a part of the grace message. Grace is God's ability to do everything we can't. And I mean successfully and powerfully. Everything. We can't save ourselves. He does. We can't get healed of ourselves. He does. He's already given to us. We can't deliver ourselves. He does. It's already given. It's finished. Jesus paid the price for everything. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Take up the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, verse 11, is everything that he's provided. Everything. Everything he is, everything he's provided. I'm not going to go into this because we've already covered it. That you may stand, that you may stay intact. Not fall apart, not walk away, not fall down, not get shot full of holes. Stay intact because you've got his armor, not yours, right? Because you're keeping his armor. And his armor isn't just defensive, it's offensive. Armor in the Greek means protective and aggressive. It is armor, protective armor, and weapons. That you may stand intact against all the wiles of the enemy, the schemes, the tactics, how he works. Now, this is what we want to focus on. We always want to focus on God. Right? And knowing God, I mean really knowing him intimately, knowing him personally, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, knowing him as real, that's why we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so we get to know Jesus, correct? I mean, because we want to know Jesus. I want to know the one who saved me, paid the price for me. I want to know him like nobody's business, personally. And I want to know the Holy Spirit. Remember? God, three parts, three people. Three individuals, and yet one. the Holy Spirit who lives in me, sealed me. I mean, he's keeping me for eternity, just like you. I want to know him. So, we want to know God, but to be oblivious of the enemy and the wiles or the schemes, the tactics, the devices, the methods of the enemy is to be ignorant and to be a target. Anybody that's on a battlefield, just like what's going on in Afghanistan right now, you can't be ignorant about a jihadist. Can you? If you're over there as an American citizen and the jihadists are next door, do you want to be ignorant about what the reality is? Of course not. Guess what? You've got a jihadist living around here. That's the enemy. He's out for anybody and everybody, whether you're born again or whether you're not. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy from every single person. The thing is that God has given us in his word the identifiers for who he is and how he works. So under the wiles of the enemy, the schemes, devices, and tactics of the enemy, I've laid this out in three parts. The first one are his tactics, and they're all lie-based. Every one of them, basis of them all is a lie. It's a lie. It's like, pfft. When you begin to understand this, and you identify things, you can. It's so easy to blow these things off when they come anymore. You know you're God. And you know you're God because in Daniel, you're going to do great exploits. Right? You're going to live above and not beneath. Right? You're going to live as a victor because he always leads you in triumph. Right? Yes. Jesus always leads us in triumph. Right? Yes. He's made us more than a conqueror. Right? Yes. He's done it all. We're just walking it through. Already in victory. But the enemy, we need to be able to identify the enemy without being oblivious to this spiritual jihadist that's against us. Actually against everybody, but against us. And I went through, I started this last week, and I want to cover the rest of the tactics, and then the second part will be why most believers don't get this. Because most believers don't get this. And then the third part of the wiles of the enemy is how he does what he does. How he does it. Do you think that it's important that we recognize these things? Absolutely. We're not called to be ignorant or dumb or foolish. If he has set us above, it's to gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We know we have authority over all of the works of the devil. How do you know that? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. And you know when you step it out, when you make it practical, and you speak it, and you live in it, and you take that authority, and you command or demand something in Jesus' name, guess what? It takes place. Why? Because you have authority and you know it and you wield it. We gain knowledge on every part of our armor, our weapons through the word. We also gain knowledge of the enemy and his tactics. Okay, what we covered last week on the lie-based tactics were the temptation to lure the flesh into ungodliness through thoughts, emotions, and actions. Number two, the perversion or the making, the twisting of the word of God. Number three was divisions. Divisions in the family, divisions in the marriage, divisions in the church, divisions in the business, divisions between races, divisions, I mean, it's everywhere. Divisions in a country. Division. Next one is rebellion against established godly authority. I'm not talking about governments that are ungodly governments. All authorities have been established by God. whether civil or spiritual. But when we rebel against the godly aspects, all of us, I've been there. When we do that, it's rebellion. The enemy uses it. It's a tactic. It's a tactic. It's a device he uses. The last one we covered last week was manipulation and control. The exertion of one's will over another by force or deception. Manipulation and control. Great tactic of the enemy. All right, we're going on. The next one, we could spend all day on this, and that is offense. Offense. It's a tactic of the enemy to use offense. What is an offense? In the Greek, it's a stumbling block. Causes you to fall because you take your eyes off where you're going and you're looking at the stumbling block. You're looking at the offense. Somebody offended me. Man, if you're breathing, you've been offended in some way. All of us. If it's there and you fall into that, and you fall on that, which we all have, and you stay there, this is what happens. It turns to unforgiveness. It turns to accusation. It turns to bitterness. It turns to slander, gossip, and hatred. All from an offense. Well, they hurt me. They did this to me. Listen, as a pastor, the awful things that we hear that get done to people, plus things that get done to us, do they give us justification to be offended? You can say no. It's real easy to say no, isn't it? It's way easy to say. But it's a choice, and I don't mean a simple choice, but it's a choice always. The way out of offense, unforgiveness, slander, gossip, bitterness, and hatred is to forgive. Is to forgive. Unconditionally. I forgive you. I forgive you. When Jesus told Peter, Peter said, man, how many times, I mean, I could see him doing this. How many times am I supposed to forgive? Matthew 18. How many times? Seven? I mean, this is magnanimous. To a Jew, it was huge because you're never supposed to do that. And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. And what he was saying to him was, till it's done. And so every time that, and I want to liken it to right now, every time that an offense would come to our minds and to our hearts, and I'm going to tell you this, I've had some serious things done to me, just like a number of you have. Every time it comes to your mind and your heart, you see the person before you or the event before you. It's through a person, but you see them. I forgive you. So-and-so, I forgive you. If it takes 490 times until it's done, every time. Do you know that it will liberate you? And that tactic and that snare of the enemy will be removed from your life because offense destroys people. Just like it's doing right now, all around us. All right, I don't have a lot of time to spend on these, so I'm going to kind of cut to the chase through this. The next one is the distortion. Next tactic and lie-based method he uses is to distort the true nature and character of God. Distort the true nature and character of God. God is good. God is love. Period. To blame God for weather conditions or floods or murders or anything else is absolutely incredibly twisted because it's not God. We have God who's good, God who has given us everything, and we have the devil who is set to destroy. You know who usually gets the credit for all the evil is God. It's the distortion of the true nature and character of God. It's a device by the enemy, and to take all of the blame off of the devil or off the demonic. Next one is the elevation of self in this life. It's all about me. Could be pride, or it could be pride in a sense that when that pride just becomes wholly self-consumed, and all I can think about is me. All I can think about is what I have or what I don't have. All I can think about is what I want, what I don't want. All I think about is what I can get. All I can, you know, it's just me-centered. Do you know that's pride? It is the elevation of self. It's a tactic of the devil. It's a tactic of the demonic, of the enemy. The next one is distraction. Distraction. It's a tactic. If we will be distracted from God's direction, God's plan, God's heart, God's truth, some way, the enemy loves to use this as a method. Just take us off. Hurt us in some way. Next one are attacks. Actual attacks on the mind, the emotions, and the body. Well, how does that happen? I'm going to explain all that as we go through this. But people always wonder, well, how can the devil, I mean, God's given us life and life abundantly, and he's given us health, and how can the devil do these things in our body? Go to Luke chapter 13 and look at the woman with the spirit of infirmity. And Jesus, I mean, she's walking like this. She's bent double and she's walking. And Jesus said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And then he goes on to explain that a demon. Is everything a demon? No. Stop. Don't ever start falling to that where everything's a demon, because it's not. But don't take it lightly. Because the demon works in many situations, directly or indirectly. That's why we've got to know our enemy. We have to know how he works and what his tactics are, so when we identify these things, our discernment is a little bit better. Because we're in a battle for eternal souls. Our mindset should be aware. So, the enemy had worked in this woman's body to the point where she bent double. Well, how did he do that? We'll get to that. When the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, he was crazy. He's called the demoniac of Gadara because he was so oppressed by the demonic, by the enemy, that he would cut himself. We have cutters today. He would cut himself, literally, with stones to make himself bleed, to get pain, to be able to feel. He would scream in the middle of the night. He stripped all his clothes off and he lived in the tombs. He had a demonic supernatural strength. His mind, his emotions, like the woman who was bent double, his body, were attacked. This is demonic. This is a reality, folks, because it wasn't just then. The storm that rose up with Jesus and his disciples crossing over the Sea of Galilee in order to capsize the boat. In Matthew chapter 8, was demonic. If you search it out, all you have to do is look this stuff up. It was not a normal storm. It was a demonic storm, very clearly. And Jesus took authority over the storm and said, be quiet and be still. And it was. Now, the same Jesus that did that, he now lives in us. Lives in you and me. All of us that are born again. The same Jesus Christ and all that he is lives in us. And we have everything Jesus had right now. And until Jesus returns, which is, I believe, not too far in the future, we're going to do the same things that Jesus did. We're called to that. Mental illness, depression, attacks on the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. There's so much more we could go into in this, but it's real, and it happens today. And I have seen it, and I have seen people set free that you all know. I mean, you all know what I've been doing, we've been doing for a long time. Free of the demonic, free of physical illnesses. And what we do, what Pastor Rosie and I have done, and you all are able to do, and some of you have done. That's what we're supposed to do, is set people free. Because that's always been Jesus' heart and his intent. But we have an enemy that does these things to people. It is not God. Not even close. The point of this all with these tactics and devices is to overwhelm relentlessly to try to make you quit. Trying to make you quit. Not stand, just make quit! By creating a smokescreen of troubles. You ever had that? With just like one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. It's like, holy moly! Enough! And a very dear friend said not too long ago, the same thing I've said in the past. He was having one thing after another, and he said, through gritted teeth, all that stupid devil is doing is driving me closer to Jesus. Not going to make me quit. Amen? Amen. I've said the same thing myself. Now he's so stupid, the devil is so stupid, but he's relentless because some will quit. But you and I have authority, and when you recognize and identify the tactics and the devices, well, you are well able to start living as an overcomer and put a stop to it and stomp him. Okay? That's why we want to know. We want to understand. We want to know the tactics. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The standard is, he'll make him run, tail between his legs. The standard that we know we apply it today is Jesus, who's already beaten him. Jesus. The winner, the victor, for us and in us. Amen? I want to share with you real quick a picture of how this works, this overwhelming, relentless stuff when it comes. And my prayer is that the Lord will bring this up to you when it happens to you. I used to work for the Navy years ago in California, and I'm old enough to have seen and been on battleships. They don't make those big honking things anymore, but they're huge. They're nothing but armor plate and guns. I mean, really, and they're monstrous. I mean, they're the biggest boats you've ever seen. And they're like a fortress on the water. I mean, they're huge. And there is nothing, nobody, no how that can take them out or going to take them out. They are massive and they are mean. And here's what the devil does in these tactics. This is how he plays it. If you can picture this massive 3 football fields long ship with guns, I mean honking, big guns, little guns, many guns, everywhere, armor plated, I mean, ready to the farm to the teeth. And this little rowboat coming up next to this battleship and saying, you got nothing. You can't do anything. You're sad. You're sorry. You're a mess. You're decrepit. You're beaten. You're a loser. You're sick. You're poor. You're nothing. And taking his hand and making little circles, kind of stirring up the water a little bit and saying, you see all this? This is big trouble for you. You see that? Next to this battleship. We are the battleship. Now that's what we are. And that's compared, I want you to see this. That's what we are in Jesus Christ. That little rowboat with the devil in it, with the demonic in it, trying to stir up trouble, is doing everything that he can do to get us to believe that we're really in a life jacket, floating and floundering next to him in the water, and he's towering over us in this rowboat, stirring up a little bit of water. That's what he wants us to see and believe, rather than the reality and the truth. We're the battleship and he's the rowboat. Squash him. You got it? You're the battleships, every one of you. Born again, you're a battleship. What are you going to believe? But that's the purpose of the tactics of the devil. The purpose of the tactics of the enemy, the demonic. Okay, now why don't most believers, I'm using this as I want you to understand, for whatever reason it is, without judging anybody else, people don't believe this and don't get it. This is why. These are people that have accepted and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's because their, number one, their discernment is dulled down by the world rather than sharpened by the Word. Spiritually, they can hardly tell good from evil anymore. Whoa. Of course you can tell good from evil, right from wrong. Let me give you a for instance. Rosie and I turned on the TV, and you know, we get to watch movies, but we qualify our movies, right? Because there's a lot of filth and foulness and just disgusting immorality and other things out there, so you got to be choosy. Yes. Language and everything else. So it's very limited. So we found a movie on Amazon. Now, I'm not real crazy about Amazon. Rated for 7-year-olds and above. I don't know who rates these movies. The devil. Yeah. We turned that off. 7 and above. Are you kidding me? So, well, enough of that. Hollywood, the internet, you know, they're in of themselves are not evil, but what they produce in so many areas is meant to dull your discernment. Discernment is knowing right from wrong, good from evil, what's righteous and godly versus what's immoral and ungodly and unrighteous. That's discernment. And most believers feel it, it's okay, even under grace. I'm under grace. I can watch anything I want. Who cares? You know, God doesn't care. That is a, we go back and read Romans chapter 6 and 7. It hurts you. Big time. Big time. It dulls your discernment, rather than sharpening you up by the truth of the word. And this is where most believers are at, and that's why they don't get it. Well, I can't see what's going on in this world or behind or what's happening, I mean, governmentally or end times or last days or in around us in our community. I don't see the problem. Racial issues, there's no racial issues. I don't see the issue. I don't see the attacks against believers happening. I don't see any of that. I don't get it. Because your discernment is so dulled down by the world and what the world produces in all the anti and ungodly things, and you feed on it. It will dull your discernment. That's for everybody, okay? Good discernment begins with knowing the truth and righteousness and godliness. The next thing is the enemy. The reason most believers don't get this is because the enemy knows they are complacent, lazy, and comfortable right where they are. And when it comes to the actual fight, they either can't do it or not equipped or won't do it. That's all. He knows that. If you think that the enemy does not know where you are, think again. The enemy knows when you know your authority. The enemy knows when you know who you are in Jesus Christ. And the enemy knows when you don't. It's a fact. The enemy knows those who are his. And he knows those who are not his. I know, like I said, I know this is a little heavy. But this is a reality of what we live in. All around us. And because the enemy is unseen, last one, by the natural eyes, you know, you don't look around and see the devil or the demonic going on. And with these eyeballs, they're spiritually discerned. Part of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the discerning of spirits, angelic and demonic, good and bad. It's part of what anybody that's baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongues, has. But the discernment of what's good and bad, right and wrong, evil and good, what's behind it, in the operation of the demonic, we don't think about. We let our guard down. That's what happened. This is most believers, not you. And we let our guard down because our mindset is distracted, or we got other priorities, we got other things going on. Life is still going on, but our guard is down. And rather than being aware, hey, you know, this could be the enemy. Our guard is down, or a lot of believers, the guard is down. If you could see the scene around you that is real, if you could see it, it would change you forever. It would change your understanding and your perception of reality in a major way. So my suggestion to you is you ask the Lord to open your eyes. You will never let your guard down again. This is for you on the video. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober and be vigilant. That means don't let your guard down. Because your adversary, the devil, this is speaking about all demonic, all of the enemy, walks about like a roaring lion. Now, he is not a roaring lion. But he presumes to be. He wants you to think he is. He wants you to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. But he wants you to be, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, those who will listen to him, those who believe him, those who are open to him. Wants you to be afraid of him. I think not. You know who you are in Jesus Christ? When you walk into a room, his knees knock together. I'm serious. He is scared to death of you. If he could die, he is scared to death of you. What the Lord wants you to know is who you are, so you act like the battleship you are. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to his disciples right before he went to heaven, before his return again. And he said, all in the Greek means all. All always means all. It means the whole boatload, everything. Authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils, and preach the gospel. Reach people for the kingdom of God, for eternal life, because that's his heart. Now that authority that he has right now is alive in you because he lives in you. He's alive in you and me. And all he is and all he has is right there. Right now. There is nothing that can come against you that Jesus hasn't already overcome. Do we still have to walk things through? Of course. For as long as we're breathing, we will. We're not in heaven yet. We will be. This is short. Man, this is short. There isn't anything you cannot walk through because of who he is in you. Because you already got the victory. It already belongs to you. Just walk it through. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Here's the part that we need to remember. We're not in this alone. Hebrews 13:5, the Lord said, I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. Never, ever, ever, ever. And when Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he was saying, when these things happen to you individually, it is the church is to be in unity for each other. You're not in this alone. So whatever you might be going through, whatever you might be facing, whatever comes, because it's coming, if it isn't now, it will. Because we have an enemy. Your mindset is to be on the reality. And the reality is you have brothers and sisters who are with you and who are for you. No matter where you are and your understanding right now, we are. I know that Michigan has this thing on the billboard, you see, we're in this together, right? Well, not really. Not, I mean, okay. I understand it's a cliche. But in the reality, scripturally, in the kingdom of God, biblically, and as a church, we are in this together. That's a reality. Don't ever, ever forget this. We are here for each other. Amen? Yes. We're with each other and we're for each other. Remember, you're a battleship. All this other stuff from the enemy, he's scared to death of you. We'll finish this up next week with his wiles. We'll cover quickly the reality of what his kingdom really is. And then how to stand, I mean majorly, in the victory. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week, we wrap it up. Limited. For the Lord to deal with in any way, shape, or form. You want it? You got it. Amen? Yes. Pastor Schoen, where are you? Can you come on up? Jackie, can you come on up? Or you have to go to work? Good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Victoria, would you mind? This, the body should minister to the body. Ralph, would you like to pray? Come on up. Ralph, I know I've not asked you to pray before. But you know, and a couple others either. There's a power in you. I mean, Ralph, you're going to let loose because there's a power going to be released out of you. Man of God, mighty man of God, things are changing in your life. And they're going to change through you to people. And you're going to release power. I mean supernatural power. What you speak, what you do, how you pray. All I keep hearing the Lord say is, Ralph, go for it now. Go for it. Every opportunity, every chance, go for it. And start expecting the miraculous. Okay? In Jesus' name. Would you step right on up over here? Tommy? Expect.
Oh, I do.
Doris? Would you mind coming up? Are you ready to pray? I keep thinking you're ready to pray, but you need to receive. What do you need to receive? Do you have something? Okay. Right here. Would you pray for her, Doris? Jackie, would you pray for Holly? Victoria, would you pray for Jessica? Anybody else? Well, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Help us to see we are the battleships. And what the enemy, for really what he is, to identify him, his tactics, his methods, and anything in any area where we haven't gotten it. Sharpen us up. And Lord, we love you, and we are blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Praise God. Have a great week, everybody.